more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz has covered a lot of stories about Wisconsin's natural trees, the vast stretches of forest that make up the North Woods. But today, Susan gets an up-close and personal look at a Wisconsin tree that is all but extinct and anything but natural. More than 20 of them are on display in Madison in the Wisconsin Historical Society Museum. The trees are aluminum. They're Christmas trees made by a Wisconsin company back when they were all the rage in the 1960s. Joseph Kapler is curator of the Wisconsin Historical Society's Museums and Historical Sites Division. He guided Susan through the exhibit called "Tis the Season."
Joseph Kapler's eyes gleam with pride as he looks at the centerpiece of the exhibit, a rare pink Evergleam Christmas tree. Rare because of a certain 1965 animated TV special.
Because this is the tree that Lucy referenced in the 1965 Charlie Brown special. She wanted to get an aluminum tree, perhaps painted pink.
Get the biggest aluminum tree you can find, Charlie Brown. Maybe painted pink.
But the pink tree of Lucy's dreams is only one of nearly two dozen Evergleams in the first floor gallery.
Everything here that we're looking at, we would collect and preserve, just like we do widgets and gadgets and wedding dresses and archival collections and letters and furniture. This because it's a Wisconsin product. All these were made in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Aluminum Specialties became the largest manufacturer of trees and at its peak employed 750 people to make trees that evolved over time.
They started out as straight needle and they added the pom-pom tips and then they did things like frosted the needles, basically crimping aluminum chaff, to give it more angles to reflect light and shinier. And there's also different types of aluminum stock, so some have a higher luster than others. Within a few years, they started making colored trees, gold and green. We have 4-foot trees, but the bulk are the 6- and 7-foot trees, and we have one gold 8-foot tree in the back.
Kapler calls his collection of 22 trees a forest. While the gallery's north wall is lined with Evergleams, forest seems a bit puffed up. But Kapler says, compare it to his first show 8 years ago.
We worked hard to get about 7 trees, and we had some lent as well.
He uses what he's got to maximum effect through lighting.
Here in the gallery, we've put colored light from above. We've dimmed the gallery. We have some color wheels going as well, so trying to recreate that mood, if you will.
It seems to be working on a mother and her young daughter. They plunk down on the floor and gaze treeward, seemingly mesmerized. According to Kapler, during the 1960s, the aluminum tree evoked strong reactions, from distaste to delight. But he says the manufacturer did not set out to replace the traditional live Christmas tree.
The idea is you didn't hang ornaments on these trees. You splashed light on them. They were so very different from the traditional Christmas tree. It's not an artificial tree. That's one that's plastic, and it's meant to mimic a tree and look real. It is what it is. It's an aluminum Christmas tree. You can call it sculpture if you want. So no ornaments, and then you would splash light on it, perhaps moving lights.
David Moore has his own memories of an Evergleam his parents owned when he grew up in Minnesota.
It's like the ones on the floor here, but a little bit bigger. But not only that, the whole tree stand, like the one they have in display, would turn, and it was gold, and it played music at the same time.
Although he says the tree stood regally in their living room window, unlike curator Joseph Kapler's depiction, Moore and his brother were allowed to decorate their Evergleam.
We didn't have the glass balls because afraid of me knocking them off as a kid, or me and my brother. So we went with a plastic kind of yarnish around it, blue ball, and they're blue on it. And then once in a while we do popcorn on a string on it, or paper chain, or other colored tinsel on that tree.
Evergleams are fetching hefty prices these days on eBay. That could not have been said for the Moore family tree. He says he and his brother wore it out. Curator Joseph Kapler points out enclosed cases of surviving Evergleam artifacts. As much as the trees themselves, he covets their accessories and, above all, its packaging.
So we're looking at the remnants of two boxes. To buy one tree, a consumer would have to buy two boxes worth, and then you'd have these dotted lines. You had to cut the top off. And then what was underneath when you found out was all these branches, probably all about 90 of them, each individually stuck into a wooden base. It's a heavy wooden base. The trunk is painted, and the base would have to be assembled with screws every time. So, good idea. People liked them, but to make it great, we did what you see over here on the right. On the right is just a box that's less than half the size of these other two. And what the company did is they partnered with Modern Coatings Incorporated out of Chicago. They're the ones who first introduced an aluminum tree in the late 50s.
Jerry Walk vividly remembers the evolution of Evergleam. He was a regional salesman and later VP of marketing and sales for Aluminum Specialties. I reached him at his home in Manitowoc.
The company, Aluminum Specialties, always had Christmas parties for two customers, Montgomery Ward and Ben Franklin stores in Chicago. And the Christmas decoration buyer said to my boss at the time, who was Vice President Tom Gannon, "I got to show you something."
A large aluminum Christmas tree.
A beautiful tree, but it was very, very high priced. They sold a 4-foot tree, it was like $75. 6-foot tree was $100.
A lot of money at that time.
A lot of money. This was 1958. And in a big box.
Like the bulky one on display at the Wisconsin Historical Museum show.
And the buyer said, "The challenge you have here is get this price down where you can sell it for $25 at the most, and get it into a box where we can put a mass display in our stores, and a customer can look at it, pick up a box, they can check out, and take it home." So this is 2 weeks before Christmas.
Walk says their engineering team set to work, and 3 months later, they had put together
4 trees, exactly what the buyer wanted, and we took it to New York for the toy show. The first customer I worked with was out of Minneapolis. And it was a woman buyer, and she loved it, loved the tree.
She placed an order on the spot, and not a conservative one.
It was just under $50,000. And I'll tell you, at that time, with our toy line, where we were selling items for, you know, $1, $2, and $3 like this, a $25,000 order was big.
Walk says over the next several years, the Aluminum Specialties plant was pumping out Evergleams 24/7, 10 months a year. And in fact, the tree lived on in the market for 13 years. Joseph Kapler says the Wisconsin Historical Society intends to hold on to what remains, as many Evergleams as its pocketbook will allow, along with family photos around their aluminum trees, as well as in store windows that people like Jerry Walk were responsible for.
One of the marketing innovations that Jerry Walk and others had is finding new and different places to retail these. And one of the ideas they thought of in the 1960s, a lot of automotive supply stores, and a lot of them in, you know, in the downtown central business districts. And, well, in December, there's not a lot of need for tires and things like that. So they convinced a lot of these automotive parts retailers, sell Evergleams. Put these up, and you got all that glass in the front of your building. Put these up and give people reason to come into your... And so it's thinking like that as well, that, you know, great sales thinking and along with great product development thinking.
Thinking that's still paying dividends a half century later. For Like Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
The Wisconsin Historical Society Museum's exhibit of Evergleams continues through January 11th in Madison. At the same time, the museum is holding a retro holiday photo contest. You'll find more information about it and photos of Susan's Evergleam experience at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then how one area company is working to better diagnose brain injuries in professional and maybe someday in amateur sports. That story when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.